All right, hey now. Happy Friday. Let's let our hair down a little bit, chill out and relax. Oh, I want to stretch this one out. It was a long week, so I want to have some fun here if I can. Time for American at Radio on 90.3 WHBC, WHBC HD. I'm Tom Ryan, with you every Wednesday and Friday between 5 and 6 p.m. And with me, of course, my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales, handling the boards, taking care of things, volume levels, keeping me...
I lost my Ryan.
What's that?
I don't know. You just said that I'm your wife, Heidi Morales.
Oh, I didn't say Ryan?
Nope.
Okay, throw that in there.
Yes, I just did.
Well, see, that's why you're here. Keeping me honest. And we're in the midst of a series of shows on Jimi Hendrix. Man, we've been... This is number 16. I knew we were going to be getting deep with Jimmy. I never know how deep we're going to get until we start really getting knee deep. And then next thing I know, we're waist deep. And then we're up to our shoulders. And that's what's happening with Jimmy. Today, though, we start with, we're up finally up to Jimmy's third album. It took us 16 hours to get here. It's amazing to get to his third album, Electric Ladyland. Now, to get here, I've been working overtime and then some, admittedly, to keep things in chronological order as they've been represented in this series. But official album releases, like Electric Ladyland, make it almost impossible to do this properly unless I'm willing to disrupt the structure of the artist's studio albums themselves, like disassemble them and put the songs in the order in which they were recorded. And I don't want to do that. The artist put them together in a certain way to be presented as an album, and I absolutely respect that. And so I would consider that to be insulting to the purpose of the artist's own artistic intent. So with Jimi Hendrix and his own history in mind, we just got done covering a great deal of jams, live shows, and recordings that were overlooked or generally unheard by the average fan at this point in time to present a fairly logical timeline of what occurred before the release of Electric Ladyland. Now, that's what we're up to. October 16th, 1968 was the release date. And if you'll recall, the last three shows that we were doing was Jimi Hendrix Live in San Francisco in early October. So those were shows that he already had these songs down. And what's rather interesting, I think, is that he didn't do any of the Electric Ladyland songs during those concerts. He obviously had them down because they were already recorded. The album was just about to come out. So he was keeping them in the bag. So it's almost like for the same reason that I didn't want to play them, I suppose, is that he would keep them put aside. So there's nothing logical about the timeline of Electric Ladyland itself, the songs that are on the album. It spans a full year of musical experimentation, and it deserves the full respect of any album that has earned credibility as one of the all-time best albums ever released. So we will dedicate today's show to the first half of this magnificent album that quite literally altered the state of rock and roll forever. And of course, we'll be back next week with part two. So that means right now, my responsibility is to play sides one and sides two for you. Now, the album starts out with a rather short introductory piece, not much different than what he did on his second album, just a little bit of studio, you know, trickery and stuff like that. And then he comes to a song called "Have You Ever Been to Electric Ladyland?" It's like an introduction. It's sort of like Jimi Hendrix doing sort of like the Beatles did with Magical Mystery Tour, setting up a ride for the average listener to let you know that he's got something in mind for you. The difference here, though, is that when the Beatles did Magical Mystery Tour, that was really just a bunch of five original songs that they thrown together for a movie that went nowhere. In this instance, it's Jimmy packing together a whole mess of songs that he had been working on, and not without trouble. We will get into that. He was having trouble with his manager. He's having trouble with the band. By the time the whole thing is done, the band is gone. The manager is gone. It was a bit of a drag in that regard, more than a bit. But the process itself was actually quite successful, from an artistic perspective at least, although it was very difficult for everybody involved. So let's play the first track, which is, like I said, just about a minute long, called Then the Gods Made Love. And then that introductory track called Have You Ever Been to Electric Ladyland? Even right there in that little snippet of music, it already is a bit of a telltale sign of how things had changed from the previous album. For example, that's Jimmy on guitar and bass. Where's Noel Redding? Noel Redding's not there. And one of the reasons is that there was a lot of banter between Jimmy and Noel Redding about how things were working in the studio. Jimmy was taking too long, having too many people coming into the studio, hanging around, And Noel felt like there was way too much time being wasted. And Jimmy was more than happy to work at his own pace. And Noel wasn't appreciating it. He felt like he was wasting his time. So Jimmy ended, would just pick up the bass and play it himself when he was ready. So that was a problem as far as the band was concerned. They were recording that. Now, that track was recorded in June 1968. It's obviously very much inspired by Curtis Mayfield, right? I mean, I'm just hearing that. Nobody told me that, but I don't think nobody has to tell me that. You know, you just hear it. It's, oh, man, he picked that up from Curtis Mayfield. Now, that's from the record plant in 1968. And this is exactly where eventually he's going to turn around and build his own recording studio named after this album in New York City. Now, Jimi Hendrix is his own producer. Again, part of the problem. Also part of the reason why it's such a great success. But, well, Hendrix is doing it his way. He's lucky enough to have a genius like Eddie Kramer behind the board as an engineer and really as a co-producer. He's helping Hendrix in every way possible to get what he hears in his head to get it onto tape. Very sympathetic. And also the studio owner, Gary Kellgren, who owned Record Plant, was also working with Eddie Kramer to help Hendrix achieve what he wanted to. Now, one of the first songs recorded for the album is the next track that appeared on side one. And I'm going to read this right from the book called Jimmy, which was actually put together by Jimmy's stepsister. Well, this goes all the way back. This is to like really early, like late 1967, early 1968. There was a UK tour that concluded in Glasgow on December 5, 1967. And Jimi Hendrix returned to Olympic Studios in England for more recording. These new sessions saw Hendrix and Chandler drifting further apart musically, Chandler, his manager. Hendrix's drug use and social life had accelerated noticeably, and more, a full entourage accompanied him to the studio. Despite some of these cracks, the experience recorded some of the band's strongest work during the December-January sessions. The compact classic, Crosstown Traffic, signaled the beginning of production for what would become Electric Ladyland and set the tone for the adventurous double album. Hendrick turned to the piano for inspiration, inverting a series of chords he had successfully incorporated within the song Spanish Castle Magic from Axis Bold as Love, his previous album. Dave Mason from Traffic, a loyal supporter of the experience, teamed with Noel Redding on backing vocals, while Jimmy delivered his most forceful lead vocal to date. Hendrix's strength as a vocalist came as little surprise to Chandler, who had always strongly encouraged Jimmy's development as a singer. "Jimmy would always want to bury his voice," recalled Chandler, "but I loved its rhythm and thought it was great." Here's that song that Chandler was supporting him on before they broke up. It's called Crosstown Traffic.
Your back, I can see you had your fun, but darling, can't you see my signals turn from green to red? And with you, I can see a traffic jam straight up ahead. You're just like so hard to get through to you.
And there it is. All 2 minutes and 25 seconds of it. That was released as a single, actually, and it made it to number 52 in the States, not particularly high. Jimmy was never really a singles artist. He was definitely an album artist, a really a live artist, a performer, as our previous three shows and the ones, many others that we've covered already. It's obvious that he was a live player. But that was the second single that was released from this album, Electric Ladyland. You might notice on that, he's playing a sort of a kazoo thing on that song, too. It's like a comb and tissue paper. He was just, this is why people were getting frustrated with Jimmy, but he was having a lot of fun doing this, like, really weird, like, psychedelic, funky ideas that he was coming up with to make his album something unique and original. It probably was a total pain in the neck at the time that he was dragging it out. But I mean, now that it's 55 years later, or whatever it is, 50, more than that, wow, 57, whatever it is, it still holds up. This album sounds fresh. It's amazing. Anyway, back to the book about the next track, which is the longest song on the album, and the song that basically takes up the majority of what constitutes side one of the album. Noel Redding, as I had mentioned before, had grown extremely agitated at Hendrix's tolerance of the many hangers-on that now crowded the record plant control room. Recording sessions, Redding complained, had become parties. And as the manager Chandler later described, Hendrix was enjoying the, quote, lap of honor, unquote, having returned home after finally making good. In other words, after having struggled so long in New York City, where he was literally living on the streets and sleeping, quite literally, like among the garbage pails and everything, trying to struggle to make even a dollar, now that he is like a famous rock star, this is his lap of honor. He's going to take up as much, you know, if people want to basically, you know, honor him, he's glad to take it. But Redding grew frustrated when Hendrix would play to the assembled crowd or allow his focus to be diverted by the stream of human traffic weaving in and out of the record plant control room. And he confronted Jimmy one day. Hendrix didn't take Redding's concerns seriously, instructing him to, quote unquote, relax. Embarrassed and infuriated, Redding stormed out, teeming with frustration. Later that evening, absent both Chandler and Redding, they're both gone, Hendrix went to the Scene Club, which was located just around the corner from the record plant. The club had become the chosen venue for Hendrix and friends to hang out, listen to music, and eventually play together, going back to the studio to hang out and just make music. After a long evening of revelry, Hendrix led Mitch Mitchell, Steve Winwood, Jefferson Airplane bassist Jack Cassidy, Eddie Kramer, the engineer, and a host of friends back to the record plant studio to jam. The resulting song was Voodoo Child, the third of three attempts made that late night, early morning. And amazingly, it stands as one of Electric Ladyland's finest achievements. This is exactly what Noel Redding and Chaz Chandler hated and why they walked out. And it's perhaps one of the strongest pieces of music on the album. It's almost 15 minutes long. It's called Voodoo Child.
Child. swear the moon turned a fire red. Skirts of infinity, and when he brought me back, he gave me Venus, which is green. Time I'm right here in your picture frame. We'll be right back. voice are made of desire. From far away is Jupiter's soft mind. Say my heroes are made of desire. From far away is Jupiter's soft mind. Way down by the methane sea. I have a hummingbird and it hums so loud. You think you are losing your mind. From a flower named Blue, way down in California, and the New York drowns as we have had. Hey, there was a moonshine.
almost 15 minutes long. Voodoo Child. You're listening to WHPC, WHPC-HD, Gordon City. And you're listening to American Net Radio on 90.3. The Life and Music of Jimi Hendrix, Part 16 is the series. We're continuing on. This is Part 1 of Electric Ladyland. That song, Voodoo Child, that was recorded at about 9 o'clock in the morning. Jimmy was out at the nightclub, hanging out with some musician friends that he had bumped into at the nightclub, and stayed after hours. He was with Jack Cassidy, Steve Winwood, and Larry Coryell. And he said, hey, man, let's go around the corner. We could go and maybe we could do some recording at the record plant where because I'm making an album. So they all came around at about 7:30. So they had to set up. That took some time. They started doing takes of the track. Jimmy broke a string about on one of the earlier takes, but this was about take three, and you heard it just live as it is. A lot of other people came with him. It wasn't just those players. I mean, it's part of the crowd. There was Jimmy had hangers on. That's why you heard the crowd you heard in the studio. It was live. That's what it was. And Voodoo Child is like, this is really Jimmy playing a version of Catfish Blues. We've heard, if you've heard any of the earlier songs, it's a Muddy Waters tune that he would do a lot. It's just the same thing, but with new lyrics. He wrote his own lyrics, basically incorporating his own, Jimi Hendrix science fiction stuff and some psychedelic blues ideas in his head. He asked Jack Cassidy to play bass because Noel Redding, quit, walked out. He didn't quit, but he just left the room in anger when Jimmy was, basically hanging out, not working the way that he wanted to. So Jack Cassidy picked up the bass. That was Steve Winwood playing organ on that track, which is pretty fantastic. Jimmy invited Larry Coryell if he wanted to play guitar, but he said no. So Larry Coryell watched while that was going on. Pretty amazing. So that brings us to side two. Now, again, returning to the book Hendrix, as you could say, meanwhile, the relationship between Jimi Hendrix and Noel Redding was still strained, particularly in the recording studio. Now, without Chaz Chandler to referee the disputes, because Chaz Chandler basically had, at this point, had decided that he was going to step down as a producer, the two of them grew even more estranged. The experience sessions with Noel Redding present were often unproductive, with the bassist unwilling to sit through Jimi Hendrix's lengthy efforts at perfecting his guitar parts. The situation worsened when Hendrix elected to play the bass parts himself when Redding was absent, or he made alterations via overdubs during later sessions. Redding, meanwhile, was writing and recording his own material, activities that provided him with the opportunity to both sing and play his instrument of choice, the guitar. Rather interestingly, one of Noel Redding's songs made it onto Electric Ladyland, and it was the first song on side two of the album. It's credited to Noel Redding as the songwriter. It's called Little Miss Strange. But you know what? We could play two in a row. We'll let that segue right into Long Hot Summer Night.
Devil in disguise, I can tell by looking in her eyes. All those inside. Everybody's on fire, but I'm snowing in a cold blizzard. Where are you when it's a hot, cold summer? Where are you when it's a hot, cold summer? Where are you when it's a hot, cold summer? From the ceiling, just in time. And the telephone keeps on screaming. Hello, says my shaky voice. Well, how you doing? I start to stutter. Can't you tell I'm doing fine? Can't you tell I'm doing fine? It was my baby talking way down across the border. She says I'm gonna hurry to you. I've been a fool and I'm tired of crying.
Them back to back because they're probably by far the two most neglected songs on Electric Ladyland. Little Miss Strange is the song written by Noel Redding with Noel Redding singing. And every time I hear it, it reminds me in some way. You remember there was that album that the Rolling Stones put out, Her Satanic Majesty's Request, which wasn't a particularly good album when it came out around this time. It was about, I think it was not too far apart from when Electric Ladyland came out. And there was a point in time where Mick Jagger wasn't in the studio, so the bassist, Bill Wyman, recorded a song called In Another Land, and he sang it. And I remember hearing it and thinking like, oh, that's a mistake. that shouldn't have happened. They shouldn't have put that out. And I have the exact same thought about Little Miss Strange. I mean, it's a Jimi Hendrix album, and hearing Noel Redding sing on that track, I still have a hard time like adjusting my head to it, thinking that shouldn't have happened, you know, whatever. Now, One Hot Summer Night is all right, but it's it'd be the one song that I would say was like sort of a miss on the album. But next up is a pretty hot cover. You know, Jimmy, being obviously a big fan of electric blues guitar players, Earl King being one of them, he does a great cover of Earl King's tune, Come On. Basically, he calls it Come On Part 1. And this is it, in the middle of side 2 on Electric Ladyland.
them, but they just don't know what's in my heart and why I love you so. I love you, baby, like a mine of love gold. Come on, sugar, let the good time roll. Hey! People live and make believe. They keep a lot of dirt up their sleeve. But my love, baby, isn't the kind that fools. Come on, baby, let the good times roll. Hey. If it's understood, it's even nicer when you're feeling good. You got me flipping like a flag on a pole. Come on, sugar, let the good time roll. Hey! Oh, let the good time roll.
King's brain must have been melting, man, when he heard that. That's just amazing. Okay, we got two tracks left now, so I'm going to play them back to back. First up is Gypsy Eyes, which to me is an absolute master example of studio overdubbing, with multiple guitar parts flying in every single direction. And the last song is amazing that it's even on the album. It's Burning of the Midnight Lamp, one of my favorite Jimi Hendrix songs of all time. But at this point, it's already a half year old. It was a single in the summer of 1967, the Summer of Love in England. But it wasn't released in America, so they just sort of crammed it onto the album. So it doesn't make sense that it's there, but it's kind of perfect that it is, because it's so beautiful and it fits so perfect on the album. So whatever, I'm glad it's there. So here's Gypsy Eyes and Burning of the Midnight Lamp. See you next week with part two of Electric Ladyland, folks. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back.
Such a dread.